You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 418. Today is Sunday, September 9th, 2018, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And before we start, please help out the podcast by subscribing, write a review, and share links on Twitter and Facebook. If you do, the Diamondbacks will make another trade with the Braves this offseason. Oh, come on, Hammy. Nothing?
God.
No?
Well, like, you bailed on it last week, so I was needing even more, and I don't even think that would carry a normal week. Sorry, Steve.
Oh, wow. Wow, that was, like, double bad. So I saw somebody like a tweet. I don't know if it was today or yesterday. But, you know, of course, throughout this Diamondback series, it was all about, Ender and Dansby.
Right.
And, you know, the trade. Aaron Blair tweeted, "What a trade!" this weekend, which is just the best. It makes me sad that he's not a Brave anymore.
Ah, that's so funny.
That is just awesome.
God bless him.
Forgotten peace.
All right, in tonight's show, guys, we'll discuss the Braves' roller coaster week atop the NL East. We'll play fair or foul to check in on Snitker's bullpen use, Dansby's standing with the team, and Ozzie's slump. And we'll check back on our choices for the Braves' top three starting pitchers for a potential appearance in the LDS. But first, guys, a quick break. All right, so at the start of this past week, the Braves were up four games on the Phillies. Following the three-game sweep at the hands of the Red Sox, one of which being the worst loss of the season.
Ever.
Maybe ever.
Ever of the season.
The Braves only lost one game in the standings, leaving that heading out west to go play Arizona. So heading to Arizona with a three-game lead, right? They take three of four from Arizona and end the week 4.5 up in the standings with a magic number of 16 and 19 games to go. So, Hammy,
yes,
it is the stretch run. Your biggest takeaways from this week?
I've got two. So one, and this is the same takeaway, but I guess just reinforce the same takeaway I had last week, but reinforce even more, is that the Braves can do it all. They can take win three of four on the road against a division or a postseason contender in a playoff-like atmosphere and win in a bunch of different ways, and then they can get completely waxed at home by another playoff contender and maybe the best team at baseball. They've got it all. They can do it all. So, you know, I mean, they are the true Jekyll and Hyde team. So that's the one thought. I mean, I was totally demoralized Wednesday after that Red Sox game. Like, I'm like, we're going to lose to all the ground to the Phillies. The Phillies will be in first place. Like, it was just such a gut punch, and I had no belief in this team. And then they turn around and they, you know, take care of business against the Diamondbacks. So the first one is that, you know, I don't know how much I trust this team. But the second one is I feel more so this week than I have, I think, all season, that the Braves have earned where they are. I thought all season that they were too many players were hot at the same time. Too many unlikely players were really having amazing seasons. You know, we were really making our living on two-out RBIs and seventh inning and beyond runs scored. I just thought we were lucky. And, you know, I think I still think we're flawed, but I definitely think more than ever that we've earned this, right? We have not been lucky to get here. We're not playing over our heads. It's not too soon for us to be this team. I still think we have a long way to go to compete with the Red Sox or the Cubs, but we've earned this. I buy into this team. I think we are legitimate. These are legitimate wins. We are a legitimate division winner.
Yeah, it's 143 games into the season.
Yeah.
There ain't no caveats to any of this.
Yeah.
And you know, the one thing I'd say about the Boston series, as dreadful as that final game was, and I mean, of course the Braves should have won it. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. But it's not just that the Red Sox are the best team in the American League right now. I mean, they're like historically good.
Yeah.
They're absurd, dumb good.
And we sort of hung with them the first two games. You know, that Monday game.
Yeah, I mean, Tukey looked amazing in that Monday game.
Yeah, no hit him for a while, through four or whatever. Yep.
Well, it's just waves of guys that they throw at you. I mean, their lineup is stupid. And even the game that we blew, you know, it was sort of the Pawtucket Red Sox that we were playing there for a while. And then they had all those dudes come off the bench once that ball started rolling their way. And there was sort of no stopping it at that point. But I guess my takeaways, it helps to kind of have, as exciting as this series win was, to go out to Arizona and take these games, especially today, which was so much fun. There's just all these little things that still are sort of lingering around that make me nervous. And it's the defense. I mean, sloppy defense this entire series. The bullpen is dreadful. The situational hitting has gotten pretty bad. In the last 23 games, the Braves have struck out more times with batters, with runners in scoring position, than any team in Major League Baseball. So something they didn't do, obviously, at the beginning of the year, Ham, that you were talking about, all those clutch opportunities. So they've got to clean that stuff up. Freddie Freeman, my God, has got to start hitting for us. We've got to figure out a way to get him going. But even despite that, the Braves still go out there, still overcome all these things. I mean, it's like they're giving these games away. Almost every single game in Arizona, they won three. They basically gave them all back at some point and had to come back and win them. But hey, they won three of four. So you love the tenacity of the team, that they're willing, that they can go out there and fight and fight and fight and overcome bad defense and bad bullpen and bad situational hitting and all that kind of stuff and still scratch these wins out. It's awesome. And that will play big in the postseason. You just hope that they sort of don't put themselves in these positions where they have to claw their way out of some hole because they had some bad error because their bullpen imploded on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, the bullpen is awful right now. I mean, to say it sprung a leak does no justice. In the Boston series, 12 earned runs and 9 walks. In the Arizona series, 7 earned runs and 11 walks. It's like May again. Or April, right? It was just walks after walks after walks. But then you get this series in Arizona, and you're right. I mean, both of you, that it's easy to believe that this team can just figure out ways. I mean, that Saturday night game and that game-saving play that Dansby made, and frankly, the comeback in Sunday's finale today, that stuff is just season changing. And I know that it's easy to say, and we've probably said it a bunch over the course of the season, of if the Braves make it to the playoffs, you're going to look back on that game and, you know, fill in the blank. Right. But given where we are on the calendar and given the sweep of the Red Sox, like these last two games in Arizona, you will point to those games about getting to the postseason. They were just massive.
Well, and I think, especially after Wednesday's gut punching loss to the Red Sox, right? We needed that more than anything. These two games just remind us that it's just a game, right? That we can be on the other side of those types of games.
Right. It was just one game.
I was in the worst downward spiral. I was like, we're going to get swept first season, you know, first game of the playoffs. We're going to get out there. Folty's going to go 5, and then it's going to be Sam Freeman and Luke Jackson, right? And we're going to be praying that Winkler, but we can trust him, right, for every game, you know, and just like get demoralized and this whole season would have a bad taste in our mouth. So that was where I was Wednesday. But I mean, I believe it's true. We've got it. We've got some mojo. We are a winning team.
Yeah. You know? Although in fairness, your joke is 100% true that Snitker is only going to throw Luke Jackson and Sam Freeman.
Right. And it wasn't just the relievers. Obviously, we're talking a lot about the relief corps, the bullpen, but the Braves had 3 straight games with 9 walks. They had 37 walks in the 4-game series against Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, Gausman wasn't sharp. Tehran was walking guys. Yeah. But that stuff, you know, the starting pitching really has been so good. I'm really much less worried about that. In another thing from this week, Markakis is out of his slump. I mean, he went 11 for 26 with 5 walks, and that's going 0 for 5. In Sunday's finale, and he had a 6-game hit streak heading into Sunday's finale where he did go hitless.
And Camargo is just killing it.
Yep.
Killing it. And Tukey's the real deal. You know, I mean, Tukey looked great on Sunday.
Yeah, Snitker let him in, left him in I think.
Yeah, he looked a little gassed. He was at
100 pitches, so it wasn't even like he was at 85 pitches or something. I mean, once he threw that wild pitch, he should have been yanked.
We'll get to that. That's Nicholas.
But then you hand it over to the bullpen.
Yeah, I know. It's like, geez.
All right, guys, time for fair or foul, where I throw something out there and we agree with it fair or disagree with it foul. So, Kurt, you're up first. Speaking of the bullpen, fair or foul, Snitker's use of the bullpen is more worrisome than the arms themselves.
We've questioned Snitker's use of the bullpen all season long, and for good reason. But frankly, at this point, what is he to do? I mean, they're all bad. There is no option out there. Who honestly, to either one of you, who do you have faith in right now? Ventures? I mean, seriously, is it Ventures? Is he really the only one that you have faith in? Sobotka?
I was going to ask you guys this same question, Chris, but different way. Is there a Brave who you have, if you had to get an out or an inning from, that you have 60% faith that he'll be able to do it? Or even
you're talking Brock.
I have a lot of faith in Brock still.
Do you?
And I frankly have a lot of faith in Biddle. And I have,
75%. Do you think you have like, I trust no one. I think any game out there, it's just like, it's a fun ride because you have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah. Eight times in this Arizona series after the Braves scored, the Braves pitching turned around and gave runs right back to the Diamondbacks, which
who are
is
good,
obviously
to be fair, a tough.
Sure,
lineup.
They are good. They have a good lineup, but that's not good. And like when you walk the guy that's batting 150 and then have to face the dude that's batting 325, or like Nick Ahmed, who was just killing you the entire series. You know, you sort of want to make sure you throw pitches, or like Minter Saturday night when he sort of refused to throw strikes when you're up two, and then he walks the guy. So you know, then have the tying run come up to the plate, and maybe it's Goldschmidt or somebody, you know? So I'm sort of going to let Snitker off the hook here, because I don't know what really his answer is when none of these guys, I mean, yes, less Luke Jackson, less Sam Freeman, certainly, but I don't know that it's him so much. So I would say fair, the bullpen arms are more worrisome and Snitker's use of them, if that's
well, and look, I agree, right? I mean, he's not out there throwing the ball, and Minter, who's your closer, Minter, who's your closer, over his last six appearances at six innings, he's given up six earned, he's walked three guys, he's given up a homer. Winkler, his last four appearances, that's two innings, five earned runs, seven hits, one walk. But, Kurt, my one answer to you is, who's he supposed to throw out there? He hasn't touched Max Fried. He's barely touched Bryce Wilson. He's barely touched Kyle Wright. Like, he's got some kids out there. And, my God, like, throw the kids out there. You know what you've got with the other guys. Start to see if you can get them some innings and see if they can be useful pieces on the 25-man in the playoff. And stop throwing the same guys out there over and over again. Like, that to me, again, the arms themselves are the bigger problem. But Snitker just refuses to throw any of the kids, and I don't get it. Ham?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the bullpen arms are worrisome. I mean, Snitker, we talked about it in the just a bit ago. You know, he always seems to be on the wrong side of when to pull the pitcher, right? So he either pulls him early trying to get offense, it doesn't work, and then we lose. Or he leaves him in there too long, he gives up runs, and then we're all of a sudden we're behind, right? So I think he's not a good feel for that. But he has nothing to play with. I trust none of these guys. He's not the one walking all these guys. I mean, if anything, I question Chuck Hernandez a little bit. Like, what is up with the bullpen? You know, how can they be walking this many guys? How can these guys just not throw strikes? It just befuddles me.
Maybe they're just not that talented.
Maybe so. Maybe so. But I agree. I mean, I don't think Snicker's not off the hook. You know, he doesn't get a pass on this, but I think our bullpen is just horrible. The pieces are you can't overcome that as a manager.
I mean, I don't get Luke Jackson in Sunday's game. I don't get leaving Luke Jackson in as long as you left him in. Again, I really just want to I really just want to criticize Snitker and his bullpen use, even though I'm not agreeing that he's the biggest problem. But I mean, I was so frustrated on Sunday afternoon when Luke Jackson came in and then he didn't pull him, that he's not pitching Fried, he's not pitching Kyle Wright. Like there's really, really fresh arms out there. And then with a 5-run lead, he brings in Brock, who you need to be like one of your stabilizing guys, your 7th inning guy, your 8th inning guy. You've got San Francisco coming up. You have a 5-run lead. Bring in somebody else.
Well,
Brock
maybe he
pitched on Saturday.
Maybe he was still a little stressed about the last game in the Boston series and thinking that no lead is safe.
I know. I hear you. All right. So, Ham, fair or foul? After Dansby's last month at the plate and his game ender Saturday night, and frankly on Sunday, I mean, he made another amazing defensive play in the 9th inning. So after that month and the defensive sort of clinic he's putting on, you are less interested in trading him this offseason?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I definitely was entertaining the conversation when he was about trading him, when he was at his worst, but I have no interest in trading him now. I think that he is, and I was high on him last week. We covered like who was hot, who was not. I mean, he was really, you know, he's just been killing it lately. I think he's rounding out. I think he is a winning piece of on a contending team, right? A World Series team. I think he is the type of player you need, and I think he will continue to get better. I think, you know, in 6 or 7 seasons, we'll look back and remember how he struggled early, but I think he is he's nowhere to go but up for Dansby, so I do not want to trade him.
Yeah, I mean, if Andrelton Simmons is not a cautionary tale at this point, and I'm not saying Andrelton is in a class by, himself, but Dansby's... Yeah, defensively. But right. Dansby's defense is, you know, one close tier right below that.
Yep.
And it seems like he's figuring out his offense already. I mean, his last month, he has slashed 275, 346, 527. His weighted runs created plus is 122. Like, those are real numbers. Those are real offensive numbers from your, you know, from your huge defender at shortstop. Yeah, I would not entertain it anymore.
And he's gritty. He's a winner, right? I mean, he's clutch, and I think you need those types of guys.
I loved his post-game comments after Saturday night's win where he was talking about, and I got the ball, my internal clock, I knew he was going to be heading home, so I just popped up to throw.
Yep.
Like, that's just awesome. God, I love Dan.
That's a ball player. Oh.
He is handsome.
And the hair.
What, I mean, beyond even that level, what are your other options? I mean, is it move Camargo to short and have Austin Riley play third? I mean,
It's somewhat of an unfair question, right? Because you have no idea what that trade may be. But yes, Camargo could go to short. Ozzie could go to short. I mean, there's options.
And I mean, you would never have Charlie Culberson as a starting player on your team. I mean, as much as we all have loved what Charlie Culberson has provided to this team, Steve, you pointed out so many times his defensive liabilities. And, you know, Culberson is one of those players that it's almost like one season of magic. You know, you don't know how much that will carry on. And it's lucky enough that it's happening for us and that we get the beneficiary of it. But I don't see where, despite his offensive liabilities at times, I just don't see where you can replace Dansby for a player that's comparable to him. And as you mentioned with Andrelton, it might take longer than a couple of seasons for him to get his bat going. And boy, would we be disappointed if we traded him and he becomes, you know, a 320 batter with his glove playing for somebody else because we gave up on him too quickly.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Curtis, last one. So Ozzy continues to struggle at the plate. So fair or foul, you start him every game in the playoffs regardless.
Well, just because I just said something about Charlie Culberson, I'm gonna go right back to Charlie Culberson.
It's his hair. He has nice hair.
Yes, he is handsome as well. Yeah. I think I'm going to go foul on this one. I mean, if you look at the splits with Ozzy versus right-handers, he's 235, 282, 418. Against lefties, he's 351, 368, 560. Culberson is almost the exact opposite of that. I mean, right-handed, he's 296, 349, 522. So I'm not suggesting that you platoon them, but I don't know that it wouldn't hurt to have Culberson bat and start against a right-handed pitcher maybe one out of every two games you have against right-handed starters in the postseason. So I'm going to say foul. You start him every game in the playoffs for Ozzy.
Hammy?
Yeah, Kurt, I thought the same exact thing. I mean, literally. That I think for the chemistry and just the all the stuff we talked about being a winning team, I think Ozzy is more a part of that. So, I mean, that's a reason to keep him in the lineup. Plus, his defense is just superior to any other option that we have. But there's splits, right? And he's obviously just much better against left-handers and right-handers. So you bring in Culberson, you know, if it's just a better matchup, a better type of pitcher, and maybe give Ozzy a break, but don't platoon him. Ozzy needs to be our starter. He's part of the, you know, the culture of this team, but maybe give him a break every now and again. Maybe not start him every game.
Yeah, I hate that my answer is start him every game because of the defense, because Ozzy is just, God, so disappointing at the plate. And imagine what this team would be doing. Imagine what the team would be doing if he was not in this huge slump and the offense they'd be putting up and how deep the lineup would be if Ozzy was hitting. I mean, his last month, he's 239, 294 on base, 316 slugging. He doesn't hit extra base hits anymore. Remember, that was all he hit for the first couple of months. 24 strikeouts with 8 walks. But, yeah, the defense is hugely important, but I hate it. I hate it.
But I also think, I mean, another reason is more forward-looking is being in your first postseason, getting a start, getting that under your belt. I mean, we got to bet on Ozzy being able to make the adjustments to get to the next level. Right?
Exactly. I agree. That's another big part.
Yeah, and I mean, being part of a postseason team and getting through that, understanding that will serve us well in the long run. I don't think, you know, we get foolish here and just for this postseason to bring in Culberson and disrupt that.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe that little flair double he had on Sunday, maybe that'll get him going, you know? I mean, because it wasn't, again, we've talked about it for a few weeks now, that every single thing he seems to be trying to hit to the next planet. So maybe that little flair, you know, I mean, it didn't have to be hit hard and he still managed to get an extra base hit out of it. So maybe that'll kind of get him going in the right direction.
It would be enormous. All right, Hammy, back to our question from last week. Your three starting pitchers in the division series, if it started tomorrow, who are you picking?
Yeah, so last week I picked Folty, Gausman, and Sanchez because I didn't trust – I don't trust Tehran, and I still don't. So let's be clear there, Julio, if you're listening. I still don't trust you.
And Julio's like, my God, but what? I've like pitched so good my last six starts.
No, I know. I
Come
know.
On, that, Hammy.
That's
don't
what
be
you
so
do.
Hard on me.
That's what you do. And then I let you bring your toothbrush back in to the house, and then all of a sudden. But God, he's good. Man, his ceiling is so good, and he's looked so great, right? I mean, against the Diamondbacks, he looked great. I mean, he did, you know, the walks were there, but he was just, he was controlling it. And so, and then the Pirates before, he was amazing. So I go with Julio. And I think that's, you know, I mean, obviously we talked about how horrible his start against the Dodgers was, his only postseason appearance before. But he just has better stuff. I think we have a better chance with Julio against a better team.
The Dodgers not in the playoff picture as we're recording this, insanely enough.
Yeah.
So Folty, Gausman still for me. I am now Tukey. Oh. I want Tukey to be our to start the third game. I honestly trust Tukey more.
Do you think there's any path to that happening?
Probably not. No. And frankly, I don't think there's any path to Tehran not being the third starter, if not the second starter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's the second one. Gausman would be the third. I mean, the thing that always stands out to me is the walks. The last start he had, the Arizona start, he only gave up one earn, but he had four walks. And you're just sort of tempting fate when you're doing that, because he didn't give up any home runs. He sort of cut the home runs down. I mean, it's right. only three home runs in his past, what is that, seven starts? So that's good stuff. But I mean, four walks, you can't do that. I mean, that over six innings, that's, you know, do the math. That's almost a walk an inning. That's just an extra base runner in the postseason. All of that stuff is so amplified. You can just not give people the opportunity to do that type of stuff. So he makes me sweat, but there's no way that he is not the number two starter in the postseason.
God, and his rough first innings. Can you imagine being down 4-0? After the first inning, you know,
yeah,
I mean, it's just
Luke Jackson.
It's the nightmare scenario. All right, guys, the postseason hope meter. So scale of 1 to 10, we give our rating how likely we think it is the Braves will make it to the postseason. That includes the wild card game. So you guys were a strong 7 last week, not realizing how numbers actually work.
Wait.
Well, you were a 7 2 weeks ago, but then you guys were like,
have you heard of fractions?
Strong
Steve?
7. Have yeah, you but you didn't of... use, you didn't say 7.5.
Sorry.
All right. Curtis, where are you at this week?
7.75. No, I'm an 8.
Whoa.
Oh, look at you.
Kurt, is he
a hard 8?
Now does he know how numbers work, Steve? Because he's closer to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I am a blue.
He knows how baseball works now in my mind.
Yeah, Ham.
All right, Ham, how about you? What
yeah.
disappointing number are you going to throw out
Ham
there?
Ham is a duck.
I am octopus. I am actually 8, so I guess I am an octopus. I mean, in a week where we split with the Red Sox and the Diamondbacks, and the Phillies can't even manage to split against the Marlins and the Mets. When we were going against the Diamondbacks, Red Sox, they were against Marlins and Mets, and we pick up a game. I like our chances down the stretch.
Yeah, we had a losing week and picked up a game in the standings.
Yeah, and time is running out.
Absolutely. I'm still a 10. I mean, I just absolutely believe that we're going to the postseason. It is happening. All right, guys, next up, Shot in the Dark. But first, a quick break. All right, Shot in the Dark, our crazy, wacky predictions for the week that just concluded. And we'll begin with our listener Shot in the Dark from Peyton Shore, who predicted that Dansby and Freddie would combine for 5 homers or more, and that Newcomb and Folty would bounce back against the Red Sox, and they would both go at least 6 innings and give up less than 3 earned combined. So one homer between Dansby and Freddie, it was Freddie's pinch hit home run in the Red Sox series. Newcomb went 4 1/3 and gave up 3. Folty went 6 and gave up 1. So thank you for playing, Peyton. Hopefully next time. All right, let's see how we did. So I predicted that the Braves would score more against Greinke and Corbin than they would against Buchholz and Godley. 5-1 against Greinke and Corbin, respectively. So 6 there. 2 against Buchholz and 2 against Godley. So I hit on that one.
Wow.
Yeah. Hammy, you predicted Freddie would hit over 300 or 3 homers. He actually was 8-26. He hit 307 this week, but only 1 home run. So sorry, Ham. And Curtis.
Yes.
Saving it to the very end of the week. Your prediction that Lucas Duda would hit a home run this week, his first for the Braves. And yes. In the 9th inning of Sunday's game,
against
the
high school
run.
Against the high school pitcher.
Hey.
Hey, they brought him in, Hammy. So you could win your shot in the dark.
That's right.
Hammy,
where's my air horn?
Don't be like that, Hammy. Don't be small like that.
Becoming. I am. I'm already there.
All right, so Curtis and I tied with 1 apiece in the month of September. Hammy, no surprise, with that attitude, has 0.
Loser.
All right, so guys, what do we have this week? I will start. I predict that the Braves shut out the Giants 2 of the 3 games in that series in San Francisco. Hammy, how about you?
Hater. I hope you're right, but you don't feel like you're right. This will be potentially the last time we will be able to shoot in the dark against Bryce Harper as a National.
True.
I hope that's the right declension of shot in the dark, but I'm shooting at him. So I say Freddie, our Freddie, has a better week. and over and slash line. So average on base and slugging and homers and those four categories than Bryce does this week.
All right. I like it. Curtis, what do you got?
My man, Johan Camargo, is killing the ball right now. So I have that Camargo has 6-7-7
family show, Kurt. Come on.
Yes. Seven or more. I'm not getting into his personal business. Has seven or more extra base hits this week.
All right, folks, remember, you get to play two each week. Don't forget to get your shot in the dark in before first pitch on Monday via Twitter. And if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show. And you could win an ABT koozie. ABT koozie.
Good Lord.
Hey, family show.
Come what on, is happening Steve. Here?
Oh, my God. You won't believe what I'm going to say when we talk about the pitching matchups. All right, so six games this week and the week ahead, three in San Francisco and then three at home against the Nationals. And we'll take a look at those pitching matchups. So Sean Newcomb will face Derek Rodriguez and his 2.41 ERA. In the second game, Folty will go up against Andrew Suarez and his 4.33. And then finishing up in San Francisco, Anibal Sanchez will face the second Derek of the series, Derek Holland, and his 3.54. So moving on to the Nationals series, Gausman will get Eric Fetty and his 6.0 ERA.
Hey, family show, come on.
Next up, Tehran gets Tanner Roark and his 4.23. Now, Sunday's starter's not listed anywhere that I could see, but it's got to be Tukey again. And he will face Strasburg, who has a 4.04. My God, Steven Strasburg.
Oh,
all right,
Nationals.
Curtis, what happens this week?
Sorry, I wasn't even paying attention. I'm going to go. I hate playing at San Francisco. 1-2, 3-0. We sweep the Nats. So whatever math that is, 4-2 on the week.
I like it. Yeah, I'm going 4-2 as well, but I'm going 2-1, 2-1.
Yeah, me too. We win both series.
All right, let's do it. Let's keep going. My God, there are 19 games to go.
And what's 16. The magic 16?
The magic number is 16 as we record this.
Any
Sunday
bets
night.
On any bets on what the magic number is by the end of the week? New segment, curveball.
Ooh, that's good. All right, so 16, I know nothing about what the Phillies are doing this coming week. Anybody?
Losing.
Yeah, other than that.
I thought they had Nats. They don't have much, but
yeah, they have right. I think that's right. I think they have the Nationals before we get the Nationals.
All right, I'm pulling it up because people love this
love listening
stuff.
To
you guys
accuracy.
People you guys chat amongst
Phillies
yourselves.
Phillies Nats over the next
are they playing themselves?
No, Nationals at the Phillies, so they got Strasburg at NOLA.
Marlins and then not Nats Marlins at home. I will say it's down to 12.
Well, so it's 16. If we win four, that's down to 12, and then they're gonna
10
lose.
Then
yeah, I say
it'll
10.
Be nine. It's going to be nine.
I was told there would be no math.
Sorry.
Yeah, Tammy, I say nine when we record next weekend.
Yeah.
What do you got?
10. Oh. I'm with, I think, what Curtis thinks he is.
Right.
So you think that the Phillies go 4-2 as well?
Yeah. You know what? Maybe, I guess nine. I see them going 3-3, us going 4-2. So, yeah. God, this is hard. I hate this game.
Way to throw a curveball and have no one prepared for that segment.
Sorry.
All right, let's end this now. That is the show. Remember, everybody, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spreaker. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access all of our shows and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit the problem.